in that Harinam procession, Paramahamsa Prabhu alone distributed 50 books. 30? Where is he, Bhagavan, Pandit? He's still counting. It's a big job. And other devotees, I saw Deepta Murthy was distributing so many books.
40 books.
He distributed 40 books. So it looks like it's a very good program for distributing books. We have more books to distribute. He didn't bring enough books. What about that? We can distribute to the public also that Beginner's Guide and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu book. Glimpses. What's he saying? Yeah. So, yeah, a few devotees were distributed. So how about tomorrow also? That means yes. Okay, so, well, as usual, before beginning the questions and answers session, we have to ask you to please move forward. Those at the front, please move forward. Maybe at some point during this day of Brahma, devotees will think to do it without having to be asked. Maybe at some point during this day of Brahma, devotees will have the intelligence to come and move towards the front without being asked. I have no idea. I don't think it's even printed in English, so no idea what it's about. There are many, many books coming out, and I haven't read most of them. I haven't. There are many books coming, being published now, in and around ISKCON, and I haven't read most of them. I believe according to ISKCON rule there has to be certain ISKCON officials who do that. These are official procedures to regulate to regulate a spiritual exchange within this material world. There's some regulations are required. I don't want to discuss this in much detail, but in general, the wife should try to help the husband to come to Krishna consciousness. Please come forward, move forward. Devotees are coming inside. In some countries it's allowed that parents can teach their own children at home, but if in this country it's not allowed, then it is allowed. So what am I supposed to explain then? So you can tell that the person is asking a question based on wrong information. Questions should be based on fact. It becomes very difficult to answer if it's not. Why isn't Moscow the capital of Russia? It becomes a meaningless question. Yeah, but then the Vivaha doesn't take place when they're 56 years old. They married young. It's a sign of respect, actually. When women in their, even women in the household, if they come in the presence of elders, then they may not cover all the time, but then they cover in the presence of elders. I believe in the even the Russian Orthodox Church, the women cover their head in the church, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, where is that? In some Buddhist temples, I was reading that, they don't allow, it's like many tourists go in Thailand and different places, Western tourists, but they don't allow them in unless they're properly dressed. In Burma, they don't allow them in. So they can hire a sarong, and then they're allowed to go in, and then they have to have something to cover. They should be properly dressed. Pagodas, they're actually called pagodas. You have that word in Russian?
Yeah.
You know what a sarong is? It's called a lungi in Indian language. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. They don't know what that is either. Okay, all right. Never mind. Next question. There's an idea that there is what's called a civilized or respectable manner of appearing in public, and one which is not. Yeah, Panchamukhi Hanuman. Sometimes you see temples in India of Panchamukhi Hanuman, Hanuman with five heads. Where does Hanuman? Well, Hanuman is he's still around in the world. When Lord Ram left, he entered the river Sarayu in Ayodhya and took all the inhabitants of Ayodhya with him. So, but Hanuman is staying on in this world. And where does he stay? Jai Shri Ram. He's here right now. Wherever the name of Lord Ram is chanted, he comes. So I guess he can manifest five heads whenever he likes. I'm not aware of any of the particular pastime in which he exhibited five heads. Anyone know? Aapko malum hai?
To
Panchamukhi Hanuman to kaise Panchamukhi hote kaun si lila mein? Wo kahane bhi mujhe avagat nahi hai. Ramchandra ji Hanuman ko akraman kiya. Mahiravan, ek rakshas. Kon, ek rakshas. Hanuman ki raksha. Ram, ek rakshas ko marne ke liye aya. Aur wo rakshas Hanuman ji ka sharan le. Phir, Ram ke saath ladai karne ke liye. We have half a story. So that Ram was going to kill one rakshasa, and the rakshasa took shelter of Hanuman. And something happened along the way by which Hanuman manifested five heads. All right, that's the story for Dadadha. Research. It's a research topic. All right, we're waiting in suspense for 1 year. All right. Well, this whole question is based on an opinion which is presented as a fact. So first of all, the supposed fact has to be examined. It's been stated as if it's a fact that the second edition of the Bhagavad Gita has come out with a compromised presentation. Well, I can't say because... Are you talking about the Russian edition or the English? Yeah, I can't say because I don't know Russian. And I don't want to get into a big controversy right here and now about that. If it has been... If it's no longer Bhagavad Gita as it is, but Bhagavad Gita according to the translator, then that's a serious matter. which should be taken up. I'm not exactly sure how to do that within the context of Russian publications. First of all, you should make a presentation to show how this is actually a fact, if it is a fact. And then that should be presented to various leaders in Russia for rectification. You don't agree with that yourself?
No.
Okay, you can say that if you like. And the first edition was kind of vulgar. I see. Say that. This is your understanding. You can if I say, if I tell you. Then if you can't read it, then all right, put it on the bottom line. Well, that's a very intelligent question. Prabhupada had several thousand disciples. Prabhupada didn't attempt to personally manage and guide the lives of each one individually. And many times he told devotees, you just follow, and he'd give the name of the particular leader they were working under. So general instructions are there, and if one follows them, one's life is perfect. Many times devotees ask me, do you have any instructions for me? They didn't hear so many lectures, so many instructions. Devotees, they want some special instructions. Well, the instruction to chant Hare Krishna, that's special. The instruction to read Srila Prabhupada's books, that's special. So it's all special. It's, you find many times devotees, they don't want to follow the general instructions, but they want some special instructions. If you follow the general instructions, that will be special, because a lot of devotees don't follow them. Yeah, you'll become special because most devotees don't follow them. So, what's next? Well, at the last count, it was... Whoops, you distracted my attention. I have to go back and begin again. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have to change a few bodies to count them all. That's one for Krishna. You better ask that one to Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says ananta, unlimited. Eta brahmanda bhari ananta jivagon. In this universe itself there are unlimited jivas. Now according to logic and mathematics, the unlimited can't increase. Although Krishna's abilities defy ordinary logic. One thing is, one shouldn't think that a close relationship is necessarily defined by a lot of physical contact. It's defined by close spiritual contact. Yes, Shastra warns us against becoming too familiar with the deity or the spiritual master by having a lot of contact. Prabhupada would have his disciples bow down every time they entered and left his presence, including his personal servants who would come in and out of his presence, you know, maybe 20, 30 times a day. Once Prabhupada came out of his quarters and devotees were waiting there to see him, they all bowed down. One didn't, he just folded his hands. Prabhupada walked on and said, that is the beginning of his fall down. Several devotees told me sometimes they were shocked to see some of Prabhupada's leaders, how they would deal with Prabhupada. They'd argue with him and they get really heavy, like they were dealing with an equal. Dangerous.
Next one?
Yeah, please. It's stated thus, the verse is quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. But Sanatana Goswami comments that because devotees, out of respect for their deity, they do so. I guess because they're coming in close proximity with the deity. Yeah, they say, this is quoted, it's a smriti regulation. But Sanatana Goswami says that devotees should do so anyway. Because out of respect for their deity. They're just divaricating a bit here. There was a system which was current in India up until recently where pundits would ask questions of another pundit. And according to sometimes they would ask, like 100 people would ask him 100 questions without writing them down. They just ask him one after another, and then from all different shastras and all different, and then without writing them down, he listened to all the questions and he'd answer them one by one. Shatadhavan, what's it called? Shatadhavan, something like that. Some people were so brilliant. In Bengal, and at least up until recently, they had this kobi gan in which there would be two opponents, and one would recite. He'd have to make up poetry spontaneously on the spot, and he'd be reciting it, and then he'd just stop suddenly, leaving some question or challenge, which the next person his opponent would have to pick up and answer in poetry, and it would go back and forward like that all night. Well, it was going on at least until recently. Then what's the next question? Well, it depends on the individual. In general, brahmachari, he doesn't have to think about maintaining a family. All he can serve Guru and Krishna without any distraction. So in that sense it's better. But if one is not very serious to serve Guru and Krishna but is simply avoiding responsibility, or if one's mind is so much disturbed by material desires, then it may be better in individual cases for marriage. This is discussed in some detail in that Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness book. Yeah, and then? Well, let's think what the word maturity generally means. In the character of just any person, materialistic or whatever. Mature is distinguished from childishness. By experience, one has learned to live in this world in a manner that is practical and considerate of others. One is not easily misled and has prescience that has come from experience of past situations. Prescience means some, like the ability to, you can kind of understand what's going to happen in the future. You can kind of, you have a feeling of what's going to happen in future. And has met many challenges and is prepared to face them. So in devotional service also, if one is mature, it means one has faced many tests. He's not sentimentally utopian about the prospects of himself or others becoming overnight Paramahamsas. But at the same time is not swayed by persons who are just totally pessimistic about the hopes of advancement in devotional service. Is settled in his spiritual practices without being fanatical. Means he can adjust if necessary, but doesn't unnecessarily make compromises. Is considerate of others in dealings. These are some of the signs. Maturity in devotional service. All right, next. Well, that's the difference between theoretical understanding and realization. It's easy to talk, but actual realization, that's something else. Well, how are you going to help a person who's directly in contact with the Lord? What do they need your help for? It's a kind of mayavad, only me and God. I don't need anyone else. If you want, you could tell them that there's some really good prasadam at the temple these days. And if they do come, then you can feed them all the choicest items if you're really trying to help them, but it's difficult. There's this type of devotee who imagine themselves to be on a very high platform, and they see devotees engaging in regular activities of devotional service, chanting japa, engaging in kirtan, and they think, oh, who are these people? They look down on them. In this way they make offenses. Not necessarily realized, but he's acting on the spiritual platform. What does it mean practically? Well, it means getting up in the morning and going to Mangal Arati and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and spending one's whole time engaged in spiritual practices. That's what it means. Don't think, you know, brahmachari means you need to tie them down, otherwise they'll float up into the clouds. Aham brahmasmi. Sometimes we have some unusual ideas. Well, I didn't say any yet, but you never know. In Russia, you never know. But such a brahmachari who's floating in Brahman, you just need to put a little pin and they'll go pop. No more Brahman. His commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada doesn't speak Bhagavad Gita, just You should tell them like that. Because they may go and they may say in public, in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, it's, you know, we should be careful what we say. We should be careful what we say, because, you know, if we speak to people, they may think you're just an idiot or something. They may think you're offensive. No. The first in a new chain of disciplic succession. Yeah, well, there are so many paramparas, so many branches. Actually, we don't have any record of Arjuna speaking this to others, but it, through Vyas, it came down to all the other paramparas. So Krishna spoke to Arjuna, and Vyas, who was already in the parampara coming down through Brahma and Narad, by the mercy of the parampara that he was in, he was able to receive this knowledge. Vyasa prasadat chutavan, as Sanjay said, by the mercy of Vyas, I was able to hear this. So then Vyas presented that in Mahabharata, and that has become the prime teaching for all the paramparas. Krishna re-established this knowledge through the agency of Arjuna. You can ask me. It's not a blanket recommendation, but I've seen that in many cases devotees they get a lopsided understanding of devotional service. It means imbalanced. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj presented, he gave us a picture of many higher levels of devotional service, which he presented in a what we could say a tasteful manner, not like a sahajya. Well, in a manner that's congruent with our sampradaya. But he also very strongly stressed the requirement and the eligibility to understand these topics. He was very, very strong on surrender, purification, becoming free from material desires. But I've seen in many cases that devotees, they just kind of, they forget this or edit it out, and they just want the nectar without the prerequisite qualification. So for this reason, I'm warning, if you don't go for the half chicken philosophy. You all know what that means? Okay. I know what which book you're talking about. I read it. Yeah, it's good. I don't know what it's yeah. You know, I hope it's translated nicely in Russian. Unspoken, yeah. Yeah. It's okay, it's fine. I discussed it a bit with him. He brought up some important issues. As far as I remember, some time ago, I discussed with him that, you know, again, if it's like Gaura Govinda Maharaj's book, so it's quite different. If not read by devotees who are very mature, then it could be easily misused. But this seems to be the thrust of a lot of Purnachandra Prabhu's preaching, that he's exhorting devotees to not just see on the surface, to think deeply about devotional service and be mature. Of course, anything can be misused. Bhagavad Gita and the Bible, they're misused. Possibly the Bible is the most misused book in history, probably. Yeah, go on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I don't know any techniques for memory improvement. There are books in English, at least, which purport to give techniques for memory improvement. As far as attentiveness is concerned, well, if we're attentive enough to remember the importance of what we're reading, then we'll try more to be attentive. If we're attentive enough to remember the importance of what we're reading, then we'll try harder to be attentive. Otherwise, we're reading Prabhupada's books. We're reading, as Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, and I have so many things to do today, and how am I going to get the time to do it? Shakti buddhihin, ami ati din. We're praying for the mercy of Guru and Krishna. I'm completely fallen. I have no ability, no intelligence. But please help me. Pray. When everything else fails, pray. And because everything else will fail, let us pray from the beginning. Before preaching, you mean before giving a lecture? Which prayers? I mean, you walk up on the street and say to someone, Om Ajnanati. Wait a minute, come back. We should always have a prayerful attitude. Prarthana karoi shada narotamadas. Formal prayers should be recited before a formal presentation of the philosophy, such as the Mangalacharan or the formal invocation given by Srila Prabhupada at the beginning of his introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is. So there are many such prayers and one may choose them. Srila Prabhupada notes in the Nectar of Devotion under the section of prayers, one may personally choose various prayers to pray. As far as prayers for compassion, well, there are various prayers. What is that? Kobe jibe doya kori udoy. What is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. Sri agar tahal karibe pracha. How does that go? Yeah, in that song, there's one verse like that. Kobe jibe doya, hoibe udoy. It goes like that, something like that. Sahishnuta guna, like that. There's an example. There are some. You got it? You can read the prayers that the poems that Prabhupada composed on his arrival in America. Then? Gauriya Vaishnavas don't generally pray to demigods. Just that we have so many songs of Bhaktivinoda and Narottam Das, they're praying, just like we're seeing the quality of compassion. They pray to Krishna, to Guru, but we generally we don't find them praying to demigods. But if you happen to be passing a temple of Lord Shiva, it's respectful to go inside and you can pray to him. Shirang yata de divikar, this verse you can recite. And you can recite, or you can pray to him for pure devotion. If you happen to pass a temple of his wife, Devi Parvati, you can pray as the gopis prayed. Katyayani Mahadevi, this verse. They're asking, please make Krishna our husband. So we can pray from our vantage point that please give us service to Krishna. Please make Krishna our Lord. Pati, the word is used. But such prayers are not part of our regular spiritual practices. They're not given by Rupa Goswami or any other acharya. Well, it says in a specific context, doesn't it? Om tat sat iti nirdesho brahmanas trividam hutam, in sacrifice. It's not that we're going to go around chanting kirtan or japa of Om Tat Sat. You can say it sometimes if you like, no harm. If you understand Tat, who is that? That is Krishna. I have another suggestion what you could do instead. A person who's not properly situated is liable to himself engage in illicit sex and to drag others into illicit sex also. A less spectacular disturbance is he may just become a parasite. A less spectacular disturbance is that everyone should contribute to the social fabric. We're all taking help from so many others, directly and indirectly, so we should contribute something, either materially or spiritually or a mixture of both.